Amen. Matthew chapter 9. Why don't you stand with me? Let's go to the word of the Lord tonight. Praise the Lord. You know, I just feel like that we all should have our mind made up that at the end of church service, when the call is given that, hey, who wants more of the Lord? Who wants to surrender to God, to let God have his way in their life? I feel like we should all have our mind made up that we're going to go to the altar and we're going to receive whatever God has for us. Amen. Now, you may be here and you don't have any needs and you don't have any situations you're working through and you don't need a miracle. But you know what? There's others who do. There's others who do. And so if you're all good, just make up your mind. I'm going to the altar to find somebody else that I can bless, be a blessing to and minister to and pray with and reach out to with faith. Hallelujah. Amen, amen. Matthew chapter 9, verse 18. While he spake these things unto them, behold, there came a certain ruler and worshipped him, saying, My daughter is even now dead, but come and lay thy hand upon her, and she shall live. And Jesus arose and followed him, and so did his disciples. And behold, a woman which was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years came behind him and touched the hem of his garment. For she said within herself, If I may but touch his garment, I shall be whole. But Jesus turned him about, and when he saw her, he said, Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. And the woman was made whole from that hour. And when Jesus came into the ruler's house and saw the minstrels and the people making a noise, he said unto them, Give place, for the maid is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn. But when the people were put forth, he went in and took her by the hand, and the maid arose. And the fame hereof went abroad into all that land. And when Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed him, crying and saying, Thou son of David, have mercy on us. And when he was come into the house, the blind men came to him. And Jesus saith unto them, Believe ye that I am able to do this? They said unto him, Yea, Lord. Then touched he their eyes, saying, According to your faith, be it unto you. And their eyes were opened, and Jesus straightly charged them, saying, See that no man know it. I want to preach to us tonight about the desperation zone. The desperation zone. Some of you are in the desperation zone tonight. You're desperate. You've got to have a touch from God. You've got to have a miracle. Your family needs the Lord. There's got to be a breakthrough. You're desperate. Some of you tonight are not in the desperation zone, but that's where you need to be. Because that's the only hope for your family. That's the only hope for your marriage. Come on, that's the only hope for your life, for your salvation. Hallelujah. We need the Lord tonight. Would you ask God to touch and to move? Lord, we need you. We can't make it without you. I pray that your spirit would work. I pray that your power would have its way here in this house, Lord, that every life, God, would be changed, that every heart would be delivered, that every sickness would be healed, that every chain would be broken. We believe you for it, and we stand upon the word of God tonight. We speak it by faith in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do. In the name of Jesus, hallelujah. Can you give the Lord a hand clap of praise right now? Hallelujah. Come on, he's worthy. He's worthy of praise. He's worthy of glory. Yes, bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. God bless you. You may be seated tonight. In these scriptures that we read, we're going to look at three examples of what powerful things can happen when someone enters into the desperation zone. Unfortunately, spiritual hunger is often absent in many churches and in the lives of many Christians today. The passion that people once knew about the things of God has grown cold. Their level of desire has waned, and now they just live in the realm of the ordinary, the routine. But in our lives and in this church, we want to experience the supernatural. We want to experience the things that are only brought about through spiritual hunger and desperation. Now, as a pastor, I'm not naive enough to assume that everybody here tonight is willing to pay the price to enter into that desperate place. But I do feel that God is challenging me in my spirit today and tonight that I'm to preach it by faith, and that I'm to reach for maybe just one, or maybe two, could be three or four. I hope it's 10 or 20. I really hope it's more than that. That are not content to just kind of chill while the world around us goes to hell. But I pray that we're not comfortable with the routine anymore. The ordinary, the familiar, but lo, let there be a passion that's burning deep down within our heart that cries out for something different, something uncommon, something unusual and unconventional in the Spirit, a special move of the Holy Ghost that takes us from what's normal, from what's typical, into that place where the extraordinary happens. That only happens in that desperation zone. Desperation, it talks about somebody's only hope, their last chance, that make or break it moment where history is made, where they've each reached the end of their rope and now they have no other choice but to cling to their faith in God. If you've been there, you know what I'm talking about, and everything else around you, it just kind of fades away as you look to Jesus, and you know there's no other options, and then there's no other way. He is our only hope, and we're desperate. When I think of desperation, I think of someone who is caught in a flash flood. The other night we got, I believe it was over 4 inches of rain in just a short time. And between Springfield and Nixa, Highway 13 crosses over the James River. And normally you can't even really see the river from the road. But the other morning, the water was just surging under the highway as the river overflowed its banks. And it was so much, it flooded a large field there that's on the side of the highway, and it was just trying to find any little stream or any little way, that any creek that it could kind of get under the road and make its way. And think about someone who is caught in the swirling rapids of a flash flood. And they're fighting against a current that's so strong, and they're trying to keep their head up above the water somehow. And all the while, they're being carried swiftly to some unknown destination downstream. And suddenly, a moment of opportunity arises as they see a limb from a large tree up ahead. And with desperation, they thrust out their hand to reach the branch. And They're not reaching timidly, kind of half-heartedly, kind of casual like. No, it's their last chance. And so they give it everything they've got. And oh, with joy, they're able to catch the branch, and then struggling against that churning current, they're able to pull themselves to safety. When it's a matter of life and death, there's no time to be apathetic. Indifferent, laid back, passive, uninterested. Oh, I tell you, in that moment of desperation, there's got to be a move within them that says, this is my only chance, and I'm going to give it everything I've got. It haunts me to look back at several times in my ministry where I recognized that it was that moment in someone's life, and It was a matter of life and death where their soul hung in the balance of eternity. And yet for all of my preaching and all of my praying and all of my reaching for them, they remained unmoved and untouched and unconcerned. Only urgency will get us into the desperation zone. Only a burden that's about to just break us to pieces will move us into that place of the supernatural, where souls are hanging in the balance. I tell you, there's no time to be laid back. When we have nowhere else to turn, it's not the time to have a casual attitude. When it's a matter of life and death, we can't be apathetic. Oh, I tell you, the fire burns hot in the heart of somebody who's desperate for God, somebody who's passionate about seeking Him. They don't leave without an answer. They make up their mind, I'm going to receive something tonight. I've got to have a change in my situation. I've got to go home different. I've got to have a blessing. I've got to have a miracle. But it's that desperation that brings their need and God together. If you've got a need tonight, let's not be casual about this. The answer for our situation is in the house. And whatever it takes, we've got to have a miracle. Whatever we have to do, we can't let them pass us by. However we need to get his attention, come on, we can't miss the answer that we so desperately need. Tonight could be the night that your life is changed forever. Tonight could be the moment that something happens in the spirit and you'll remember this day for the rest of your life. Come on, somebody needs to get desperate. We read tonight where Matthew said a certain ruler came to Jesus and worshiped him. And he said, my daughter, if you read that and study it, she's about to die, but if you will come and lay your hand on her, she'll live. That man was in the desperation zone. Mark 5:22 tells the same story. And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet and besought him greatly, saying, my little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. And Jairus, he was a ruler of the synagogue. He was one who took care of the place of worship and in an important position and job. And no doubt he was surrounded by people every day, by those who hated Jesus. I'm sure he'd heard all kinds of negative things about the Lord. But when he was desperate, he said, I don't care. If this Jesus can help me in the time of my need. Come on, when his daughter was at the point of death, he was desperate. Don't you know that there are people in this city? There are people in your neighborhood. There's people that you work with or go to school with, and they make fun of Pentecostals. Come on, they make fun of apostolics. They make fun of our separation. They make fun of our commitment to God. They mock and despise our walk with the Lord. But if they ever get desperate, if they ever get desperate, they're going to be looking for somebody who knows how to pray. They're not going to care who sees them or who makes fun of them. They'll be willing to do anything to get a miracle. Hallelujah. You need to get a boldness that comes over you at times that says, I don't care what people think. I've got the answer that they need. I know the power that can transform them. I know the mercy of God that can reach for them in every situation and every circumstance. And I don't care what they say, and I don't care who makes fun of me. I've got to pray with them. I've got to reach for them because I have the power that can set them free. Hallelujah. And Jairus, he falls at the feet of Jesus. And at that moment, his important position, it didn't mean a thing. His status in the community was forgotten. The judgmental looks of the Pharisees did not stop him, and all of that was nothing compared to the painful possibility of losing his daughter. Desperation will do that. It forces us to reprioritize things in our life, and we start thinking about what's truly important. And all the petty things that used to be so important to us, they fade away. And Jairus pleaded with Jesus. He had no other option, and time was running out. And he just knew if Jesus would come and lay his hands on his daughter, that there would be a miracle. That desperate faith, it changed the future for Jairus and his little girl. Hallelujah. When we truly get desperate for a miracle, it builds a bridge of faith to take us through. When Jairus fell at Jesus' feet, it shows you can't get into the desperation zone if you've got pride in your heart. Jairus had to lay pride aside. Nothing was going to hold him back. The book of James tells us that God resisteth the proud. We're not truly desperate if pride is holding us back. What's keeping you from going to the altar? I don't know what everybody's going to think. You're not desperate. Come on, you're not desperate. Why won't you let that breaking come in your spirit to where you cry and you weep before the Lord? It might mess up my mascara. You know? People, they're not desperate though. They're worried about how they're going to look. They're worried about how people are going to talk and what people are going to say. I tell you, I've seen people who were truly desperate. They didn't care. They didn't care. They were reaching up and they were crying out to God. And the tears were coming down and messing up everything. But they found a miracle that day. Hallelujah. And God delivered them. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on, we got to put pride aside. We got to lay down pride. If that's your concern here tonight, you need to pray that God delivers you from thinking that you need to paint up your face, but you need the glory of God to radiate from you. Amen. You need the glory of God, and you're more beautiful in the church than you were ever in the world. Don't let pride hold you back, but reach out to Jesus and say, Lord, I don't care what I have to do. I don't care what anybody says. I've got to have a miracle. I've got to have deliverance. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Jairus came with one goal. I've got to get them to come to my house. Yeah. Amen. Without the presence of Jesus, his daughter was going to die. But if he could just get Jesus to come to his house, if his daughter could just be in his presence, I tell you, there's no sickness, there's no disease, there's no issue that can resist that kind of power. Jairus was desperate, and people that are desperate, they know what can happen when they humble themselves before God and they seek him with everything they have. And look what happens. As Jesus walks with Jairus to his house, a crowd goes along with him. And there was a woman that was part of that crowd. We don't know her name, but she was known by her issue. Mark 5:25 says, "And a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years and had suffered many things of many physicians and had spent all that she had and was nothing bettered but rather grew worse, when she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague." She'd had the issue of blood for 12 years. We don't know her name, but her issue had become her identity. Who am I preaching to here tonight that you've become known by your issue? Oh, it's the woman with the lost husband. Oh, it's that man who's got that disease. It's that young person who can't overcome that addiction. It's that one who's always struggling. Your issue has become your identity. But I tell you, if we can reach Jesus tonight, your identity is about to change.
Come on, your identity is about to change. And what you were once known for, God's going to say, I'm going to take that. Come on, you give me your ashes, I'll give you beauty. You give me pain, I'll give you joy. Come on, you surrender your life to me, I'm going to give you a life worth living. Come on, somebody, you've been known by all of the stuff, all of the issues, all of the problems. But if you get in the desperation zone, God will say, I'll take it from you and I'll give you a life worth living. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Shekorobosia kiarabaha. She tried every doctor she could find. She'd spent everything she had trying to find a cure, and for all the potions and treatments, she wasn't any better. In fact, Mark says she grew worse. But when she had heard of Jesus, she got desperate. She got desperate. And the crowd was pressed around him, but she came in the press behind him. It wasn't easy to get close, but she was desperate. She said, if I can just touch his clothes, I don't even have to get his attention. He doesn't even have to stop and talk to me, but if I can touch him as he goes by, I shall be whole. And when she got in the desperation zone, she reached through all of those around and she touched him, and straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up and she felt in her body that she was healed. And look, Mark chapter 5, verse 30 says, and Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? And his disciples said unto him, thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, who touched me? And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. Tonight, if you've come to accept your sickness, if you've come to identify with your disease, if you've got used to your situation, if that's where you're at tonight, I've come to tell you, if you'll get desperate, everything's going to be different. Something's going to change here tonight. If you can just reach Jesus, your identity is about to change. And instead of being the woman with the issue, she became known as the one that God manifested in flesh. He said to her, thy faith hath made thee whole. Because she got desperate. She made up her mind she was going to touch him, whatever it took. I don't know if she had to crawl on the ground. I don't know if she had to bully her way through. But she said, I'm not letting anybody or anything stop me from touching Jesus. If I can just touch him. If I can just touch him, I know that I'll be healed. I tell you, when we're desperate, we'll do whatever it takes. We'll press our way through. We'll leave anything behind. When we get desperate, we say, I've got to touch him. Hallelujah. And that desperation, that touch, it got his attention. God won't just leave you and pass you by, but he'll make a difference. Stop worrying about what others think. Stop worrying about what other people think. If we let people keep us from reaching Jesus, the thing is, they've probably got their own issues. They need their own deliverance. They need help too. You just get desperate and you press your way through. You don't let anyone or anything stop you. This woman, she was desperate for change and she didn't care even if those around her didn't understand. She was going to touch the Lord. And right after Jesus healed her, someone comes from Jairus' house and says, you know, I'm so sorry, but your daughter's dead. There's no sense in troubling Jesus anymore. Jesus said, don't be afraid, only believe. And Mark 5:39 says, and when he was come in, he saith unto them, why make ye this ado and weep? The damsel is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn. But when he had put them all out, he taketh the father and the mother of the damsel and them that were with him, and entereth in where the damsel was lying. And he took the damsel by hand and saith unto her, Talitha kumai, which is being interpreted damsel, I say unto thee, arise. And straightway the damsel arose and walked, for she was the age of 12 years. And they were astonished with great astonishment. The desperation of Jairus is what made the difference. He put pride aside. And Jesus came to where he needed him the most. He raised his daughter, but not everybody had faith. Not everybody had the faith of Jairus. And when Jesus said, well, she's just sleeping, they laughed him to scorn, the Bible says. But later they were astonished when she comes walking out alive. Can you imagine? They didn't have the faith for it, but Jesus said, come on, you got to get out of here. Unbelief has got to go. Unbelief has got to go. Sometimes we have to cut ties with people who are not desperate with us. Sometimes we got to say, their level of desperation is not where it needs to be for me to get my miracle of what I need. They're too complacent. They're too comfortable where they're at. They're not hungry for the supernatural. They're not passionate about revival. They don't have faith to see miracles. You need to recognize that. You need to leave some people behind, and you need to get with somebody who will believe with you. You need to get with somebody that's going to have faith with you. You got to find somebody that's going to get desperate with you to say, hey, we're going to pray together. We're going to believe together. We're going to do whatever it takes because you've got to have a miracle. Hallelujah. In just a few minutes, we're going to come around this altar and we're going to leave behind everything of doubt and unbelief because I believe there's some people here tonight, you're desperate. You don't have another way. You don't have another option. You don't know what else you're going to do. But if you can just get in the presence of Jesus, there's something that's about to change in this house. Come on, can you believe with somebody else tonight for their miracle? Can there be an atmosphere of faith that would be created in this house, a spirit of expectancy that says something good is about to happen? There's about to be a breakthrough. There's about to be a change. There's about to be a healing from heaven. There's about to be a miracle in this house. Come on, somebody, you need to get desperate. Maybe you don't have a need, but somebody by you has a desperate situation. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Can we stand in closing tonight? We don't have to have any music. We're going to just let the Lord work here tonight. Matthew chapter 9, verse 27. And when Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed him, crying and saying, thou son of David, have mercy on us. And when he was come into the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus saith unto them, believe ye that I am able to do this? They said unto him, yea, Lord. Then he touched their eyes, saying, according to your faith, be it unto you. And their eyes were open, and Jesus straightly charged them, saying, see that no man know it. Blindness in the Middle East, even today, it's much more common than it is here. The climate, the soil, the dust, the sand, along with the heat and the intense glare of the sun, it brings more eye troubles there than it does here. Whether it was from the climate or maybe from some disease, these two men were blind. But they heard Jesus was making his way by. They heard a commotion. There was a crowd. They heard about something going on over at the house of Jairus. And the thing is, they were desperate. They were desperate. They followed him from Jairus' house, and they were determined to get an answer. And they cried, thou son of David, have mercy on us. They didn't just say, hey, teacher, rabbi, master. They went and they said, thou, they went all in and they said, thou son of David. They called him the Messiah. They weren't worried about what the Pharisees would think. They didn't worry about what it was going to look like. They just wanted to get his attention because they were desperate. Jesus said, do you believe that I can do this? They said, yes, Lord. And he touched their eyes and he said, according to your faith, be it unto you. And their eyes were opened. It was according to their faith. If they hadn't been desperate, they wouldn't have reached out like that in faith. If they hadn't been desperate, they would have just sat where they sat and let the crowd go on by and let Jesus pass them on by. If they hadn't been desperate, they would have just sat back in the pew and said, well, I know there's some others here that probably need a blessing, but I'm not going to get mine tonight. No, they determined, I'm going to the altar. I'm going to reach Jesus. I've got to have a miracle. How many of the blind men were in Jericho? How many others were blind just like they were, but they were complacent, and so they didn't get their miracle because they didn't step forward in faith. They didn't reach out in desperation. Oh, I tell you, somebody here tonight, you don't need to let your miracle pass you by. You don't need to let Jesus pass you by, but somebody needs to cry out, hey, thou son of David, oh, thou son of David, master, Messiah, my Savior, God, I've got to have your touch. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. They said, have mercy on us. If somebody's got so much pride in their heart that they can't humble themselves before God, they're probably not going to get their miracle. But when somebody says, I don't care what anybody thinks, I don't care what I have to do, I don't care what I have to lay down, I don't care what the things are that the Lord's asking me to do. I'm going to surrender. I'm going to submit to his will. When somebody says, God, whatever it takes, I need you, have mercy on me. You don't have to do this, but oh God, I pray that you will. Have mercy on us. Have mercy on us. I tell you, in the desperation zone, we do something different than what the status quo is. Because we're no longer satisfied with things as usual. Church, I want to tell you, I'm not content with church as usual. I'm not content with services as usual. I'm not content with outreach just like usual. I'm not content with music just like usual. I'm not content with Bible studies just like usual. I'm not content with youth services just like usual. God, we've got to have something that's unusual. We've got to have something that's different than the status quo. And so whatever I've got to do to get out of the rut I'm in, Lord, I'll do it. Jesus, don't pass me by. Jesus, thou son of David, I've got to have an answer tonight. Come on, somebody, you need to get desperate. And you need to say, God, I'm not leaving here until something changes. There's got to be a break in me. There's got to be a move in my spirit. There's got to be help in my family. Hallelujah. Come on, somebody. You need to get desperate. You need to lift your hands. You need to walk to this altar. And you need to say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. I'm leaving this place of the status quo. I'm leaving this place of the ordinary. I'm not going to sit back and watch everybody else. But I'm coming to get my miracle. I'm not going to let you pass me by. But I've got to have an answer tonight, Lord. I pray that you would make the way in my life. I pray that you would deliver my mind. I pray that you would set me free. Come on, somebody, you need to get desperate. Come on, cry out to God. Have mercy on me, thou son of David. Have mercy on me here tonight. I need you, Lord. I need you, Lord.